Hello there, and welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Tipping Podcast with David Jennings stepping into Bruce Millington's shoes this week. I'm delighted to be joined by Tom Collins and Richard Birch, who I thought might in fact be making his podcast debut this week, but I've since found out that he was on 3 weeks ago and tipped a lorry load of winners. So welcome back, Richard. We're going to preview the 7 live races on ITV on Saturday, or Virgin Media One if you're tuning in from Ireland, which of course includes the first Grade 1 race of the season in Britain, the Betfair Chase, which is due off at 3 o'clock from Haydock. We'll have a look at the Irish action too, as the brilliant Bob Olinger makes his chasing debut in the opener at Goran Park, which is at noon on Saturday. But we'll kick off with the big one, boys. It is at 3 o'clock on Saturday, as I said. It is the Betfair Chase, and currently the best prices at the moment are 6-4 at Blue Tar, last year's Cheltenham Gold Cup runner-up. It is 7-2 about Bristol Demai, who is chasing a fourth win in the race, waiting patiently 13-2. Next destination and first time cheek pieces is 8-1, Royal Pagai 8-1. And because it's a Grade 1, I'm going to do the whole list: 10-1 Imperial Aura, 33-1 Clondalk Castle, and 40-1 Chatham Street Lad, trained by the legend that is Mick Winters. So, Richard, I have to come to you here first. The Betfair Chase, it is a race that you look forward to, and have you a strong opinion on it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you say, it's the first Grade 1 chase of the season in Britain. It's attracted a superb field this year. The starting point, what's your starting point for a race like this? Well, it's the middle of November. It's still relatively early in the season. A long way to go to Cheltenham. I think the starting point is you have to say to yourself, which horses are going to be primed for this race? Which two horses are going to be fittest? And I think, you know, without speaking to trainers, just second guessing and using common sense, I think the two horses that are going to be absolutely primed for this day are Bristol Demai. Obviously, he's going for his fourth Betfair chase to equal the Kauto Star record. And the other one, I think, is waiting patiently. First run for Christian Williams. The horse has got a lot to prove now after, you know, multiple near misses, shall we say, in Grade Ones. So I think they're the two to focus on for betting purposes. And I know I'd prefer the ground to be heavy for Bristol Demai. You know, some of his best performances have been dominating horses in deep mud at Haydock, you know, over the last 5 years. Once he can get horses out of their comfort zone, sort of under those circumstances, I think he's the most likely winner. I do massively respect Aplutard, but is he going to be 100% first time out? Don't think so. And will he need to be 100% first time out? He probably will. He's been beaten on all three starts first time out for Henry de Bromhead. So my 1-2-3, it would be Bristol Demai to beat Waiting Patiently, Aplutard third.
Okay, right. I'm gonna come back at you playing devil's advocate a little bit here, okay? Obviously Aplutard has to go left-handed and Henry knows that. So since Aplutar finished second in last year's Cheltenham Gold Cup, Henry de Bromhead has spoken about this race, saying this will be his starting point this season. We're going to go to the Betfair Chase, we're going to go to Haydock. And the likelihood is that Aplutar will run three times this season. He will run in the Betfair Chase, he will run in the Savills Chase at Leopardstown, which he won last year, and he will run in the Gold Cup. So he's going to have three starts. So the angle that he obviously might not be 100%, which he might not, I think is negated a little bit by the fact that every time I've spoken to Henry de Bromhead in the last couple of months, he's always said, and I did a stable tour with him, that this horse, first start back, will be in the Betfair Chase. So I think Aplutar will be more right for this than people might give him credit for. And the other angle, saying that he's been beaten first time out for the last three seasons in a row, he has done, but the last 2 years he ran the 4-3 a chase at Navan over 2 miles, and he's not a two-miler. He was beaten by Bally O'Sheen, a race fit Bally O'Sheen 2 years ago. And I know he was disappointing last year when he was beaten by Castle Grace Paddy. But I don't think he's a two-miler. I just think, from my point of view, I know he's favourite, but he's a seven-year-old running against the second and third favourites, turn 11 in a couple of weeks' time. And for me, he's the only horse in the lineup who's potentially properly improving. And I think the rest of them are going on the way down. So for me, I think he's a worthy favourite, but I can certainly see where you're coming from. So that's my point, Anya. But I'm the host, so I've just taken up some of your time there, Tom. You're going to be the deciding vote here. Are you an Aplutard fan or a Bristol Demai fan?
Well, all week I've had in my mind to pick Appleutard. I think he's undoubtedly the best horse in the race. On form, he's never finished out the first three. £6 clear on official rating, still improving. And he filled the runner-up berth in that red-hot Gold Cup that we watched in March. However, I do think he's the most likely winner, but my selection isn't going to be Appleutard. I've really warmed to Royal Pagai in the last 24 hours. Now, maybe he wants softer ground. The rain that
maybe.
Usually...
Well, maybe.
Well, he's unproven on quicker ground, isn't he? He ran last time out on good to soft and finished sixth, which was slightly disappointing, but it was his toughest task to date. Prior to that, his two runs at Haydock last year, he absolutely hacked up when he beat Espoir de Rome, who looked likely to beat Chantry House at Aintree in the spring. And then he had a 16-length destruction in the Peter Marsh, where he never looked in trouble throughout. At that point, he was talked about as the potential Gold Cup winner. Yes, it didn't pan out in the spring, but I think he can bounce back. He's definitely still improving, like Appleutard is. He's yet to prove himself at the top stage like Appleutard, but I think at around 8-1, it's worth a decent bet each way with a dead eight runners to finish in the frame. Maybe Appleutard's too good, but I think Royal Pagar be down bang there at the finish.
This is gonna come back to bite me, but of all the runners in the race, if you were to ask me what you were going to tip here, I would have said the last horse you want to tip. If you just go through, like he's ran like seven times on heavy ground, six or seven times on very soft ground and soft. And once, the one time we did see him on any type of decent ground, he was beaten 49 lengths in the Gold Cup and seemed to absolutely hate it.
But that's true. That is true. I think there are two factors here at play. I don't think he handled Cheltenham. I think that's a major thing. And that I'm willing to put a line through that run. Secondly, like you can only do what you can do. Like if he's running on heavy ground, then he's running on heavy ground. He's actually unproven on these kind of conditions. And I think that's factored into his price, which is why I think he's a value play.
But have they been, is he only proven on that type of ground because they've been only running him on that type of ground?
Potentially. Look, this is what we're going to find out, isn't it? If he was 6-4 and Appleutard was second favourite or whatnot, then I would never put Royal Pagai up. But he's a decent price in here. With the dead eight runners, as I say, I reckon he can run into a place.
Okay, you usually come out on top in these battles. So I have no doubt he'll probably be proved right. So it's Royal Pagai for Tom Collins. It is Bristol Lamai for Richard Burke. I actually called him Richard Burke in the first intro, and I've done it again. Richard Birch, should I say. As I said, I'm watching far too much Friends. Bristol Lamai for Richard Birch, and it is Appleutard, a very boring vote for Appleutard for me. So the first of the ITV action is at 1:50 at Haydock. It is the Double Daily Rewards of Betfair Graduation Chase, and it sees the return of Brave Man's Game, who is the best price 4-6 at the moment, and a lot shorter with some firms. 4-1 Itchy Feet. Pay the Piper is 11-2. And it is 16-1 Al Nadam. Tom Collins, what do you make of Brave Man's Game?
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be a few favourite backers in heaven on Saturday. I think there are a decent few market leaders that have got a great chance. Brave Man's Game is obviously one of them. He just really impressive at Newton Abbott, I thought. Now, maybe that race didn't pan out to suit other horses like Suffusal Raffles, who finished second, but he subsequently backed up the form. I just think he's clearly the horse to beat in here for Paul Nicholls, who's won this race 7 times in the last 10 years, which is a phenomenal record. He seems to run his best up-and-coming chaser in this event. Clanders Oboe's won it, Politologue's won it, Master Tommy Tucker's won it, and Brave Man's Game, who's likely to dictate the pace again, I think will probably add another victory to Paul Nicholls' brilliant tally in this race.
Richard, are you a Brave Man's Game fan?
Yeah, totally agree with everything Tom said. Incredibly, the horse is getting what he's receiving weight from two probably inferior opponents. So it's a superb piece of placing by Paul Nicholls, as always. You look at the opposition, and don't think Pay the Piper's good enough. Don't think the top one's good enough. And Itchy Feet bled when second at Ascot last December. And I said on the previous podcast I did, I don't back horses who bleed. I think you'll go skint if you follow them. So I think Brave Man's Game's, you know, he's a proper odds-on favourite and he should win.
Excellent. And of course, I am one of the founding members of the Brave Man's Game fan club. So it is 3 votes for Brave Man's Game. The next race live on ITV is at Ascot. It's the 205, and it's the Chanel Pharma 1965 Chase. It's a grade two, and I found out this morning the reason it's called the 1965 Chase, because 1965 was the first time that Ascot staged jump racing. So there you go. Every day is a school day. At the moment, course specialist Dashiell Drasher is 5-2. Defi Desai following a wind operation is 130. Lawson Translation, who has also had a wind operation, is 7-2. 5-1 Master Tommy Tucker. Benny's King is 15-2. Pistol Whipped is the outsider of the party at 14-1. This is a fascinating race, Richard.
It is a fascinating race, but you know, I've been through the list here, and I don't really fancy any of them. You know, Dashiell Drasher's brilliant at Ascot, 4 from 4, but all those wins were on very soft ground. Master Tommy Tucker, he's always been a nearly horse for me. Don't particularly like him. Benny's King, I remember talking to Dan Skelton ahead of the horse's seasonal reappearance. He sort of intimated that the horse would need probably one or two runs this season to hit his peak. Defi Desai, got a lot to prove. Lost in Translation, bled in the King George, so I couldn't back him. He's a big price Pistol Whip, but he's on the upgrade, he's progressing. He's the horse who could come forward considerably. And at the price, I'd be in favour of him rather than backing up horses that I don't like.
Interesting, yeah. 14-1 best price Pistol Whips. Rate 153. So has a bit to find in the ratings, but as you say, comes into the race in a bit of form, which I suppose Defi Desai, Lost in Translation, Master Tommy Tucker, or Benny's King don't. So exactly. an interesting view there from Richard. Tom Collins, I love Defi Desai. I would say if I was to write down my 10 favourite horses of all time, I would say Defi Desai would creep in there. I thought he was brilliant in the Triumph Hurdle. The day he won the JLT, or the Marsh as it's now called, I thought that was a fantastic performance. Then you go back to the Tinkle Creek at Sandown, to the Clarence House back in 2020. I love him. But are we going to see the real Defi Desai here, do you think?
What a phenomenal link from you, DJ, considering you didn't know what my selection was going to be in the race. But it is Defi Desai, so my answer is yes.
Thanks the Lord.
Yeah, I think it's a really good race. I know what Richard has said, and plenty of these like former stars need to prove themselves. Obviously, Defi Desai was disappointing last year, Lost in Translation, disappointing. Master Tommy Tucker as well hasn't really lived up to the hype. But I think this is the time that we see the real Defi Desai again. Now, last year, Philip Hobbs's team were just in terrible form throughout the whole season. He didn't have a break. And unfortunately for Hobbs, that he just didn't ever get that tally back up to where we usually see it in the around 100 mark. But Defi Desai, and because of that, I think you could put a line through Defi Desai's two runs. Now, I know he was very disappointing, but none of Philip Hobbs's horses were running well at all. And if you look back to 2020, Defi Desai was just phenomenal. He's a 7-time Grade 1 winner. He's won at Ascot before. And I really do think he'll improve for the booking of Tom O'Brien. Dickie Johnson's obviously a fantastic jockey, but I prefer backing Dickie Johnson over hurdles. I think Tom O'Brien sees a better stride over fences, and he should suit Defi Desai. I genuinely think he's a great price in here. I can't be having Dashiell Drasher. Yes, he's got a good record at Ascot, but his record when fresh is not good at all. And he has such a good relationship with Matt Griffiths that even though I like Rex Dingle, I think they may fall foul of not having Griffiths on board here. He can also jump out to his left, which I think will play against Dashiell Drasher. And Master Tommy Tucker should be up with the pace as well, which should just set it up perfectly for Defi Desai to bounce back to winning ways.
And just on the Philip Hobbs comment, I suppose, I think he's had 6 winners and 10 seconds in the last fortnight. We're obviously recording here on Friday morning. So the team are in good form. Sporting John, in some similarities to Defi Desai, obviously runs in the same colours, but you know, had a pretty poor season last season. I really hope you're right. I think Defi Desai is definitely the best horse in this race. And you're getting a decent price about him coming back. Like, you're obviously taking a chance that he still retains all of his own ability, but you're getting a decent price about it. So I'm with you, Tom. I am a Defi Desai fan. Moving on to the 225 at Haydock. It is the Betfair Exchange Stayers Handicap Hurdle. And is this another plot by Emmett Mullins and Paul Byrne, my old colleague? Right place, right time. 11-2 favourite at the moment. Best price, 11-2. He is 5-1 elsewhere. Orby's Legend, 13-2. Riggs is 13-2 as well. Flight Deck, 17-2. Bass Rock, 9-1. Don's Levant is 12-1. And it is 14-1 bar, which takes in Did They Leave You Out 2 and Stony Mountain. Tom Collins, I have a feeling this is between the two right down the bottom, and you can completely forget about anything else, because I think Right Place, Right Time and Riggs are potentially spectacularly well handicapped. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you are. Again, we seem to be reading along the same lines, which is unlike us, DJ. We usually oppose.
Yeah, this could not be good.
I really like right place, right time here. You've needed a proper stare to win this race in recent years. The likes of Sam Spinner, Paisley Park, Main Fact, Cruz Linen as well have won it in the last 5 years. But I think, although that has plenty to do with the topography of the track at Haydock, I think testing conditions have clearly put an emphasis on stamina year on year. And this year, there hasn't been that deluge, as I mentioned earlier, leading into the meeting. So there's better ground, and I don't think you'll necessarily need to look for that assured stamina. Now, right place, right time proved that he could stay 3 miles last time out over fences. He hit the line really powerfully after making the running throughout. But prior to that, he was running over shorter trips. Emmett Mullins is extremely shrewd, isn't he? We all know that by now. And he basically showed the British runners last year. He showed them up with the likes of the Shunter, Cape Gentleman as well. Right place, right time. He had good hurdling form for his previous connections. He wasn't beaten far by the bosses Oscar and Flooring Porter in a couple of races. He's dropped right down to a mark of 108. He just looks a real plot horse. And I think what's key here is the fact that Emmett Mullins has run him three times so far. All three have been over fences. They've kept that hurdling mark. And I think this is the plot. It begins here, and I don't know where it ends up. Maybe Cheltenham, the right place, right time is the pick.
Be interesting to see. Obviously, the team did really well with the Shunter last season. So right place, right time for Tom Collins. Richard, what do you fancy in the Betfair Exchange Stayers Handicap Hurdle?
Well, all I can say from what I've heard in the last 5 minutes is you two boys are going to have some massive bets tomorrow, aren't you? Massive. Massive.
Right, you're not wrong. Okay.
Well, you obviously know more about the Irish horse than I do. I sort of like the fact that he's down the bottom of the weight. So I can see the case that he's potentially plotted up. The other one down the bottom of the weight, so I had a good look at him, Riggs. But if you go back and have a look at his Sandown second in April, I think it was, that form has not worked out at all. Gladiator Allen, who finished third, Sam Barton, who finished fourth, Sheldon, who finished sixth, they've all been well beaten this season. With that in mind, I've gone for Flight Deck. I did have a bet in that race actually, but he didn't break my heart. He's been put up £3 for winning at Weatherby on his reappearance. I thought he got a lovely, lovely ride from John Joe O'Neill that day. Only pushed him out. I think he's valued for more than the £3. This is a typical John Joe O'Neill improver. That form was received a massive boost yesterday when the second T's Components lad beat Je Suis Teak, who is the horse that broke my heart yesterday at Market Raising. So the form's good, and I think he'll win Flight Deck.
Okay, very interesting. Flight Deck for Richard Birch, rated 133 at the moment, and currently at best price 17-2 with William Hill. So Flight Deck, interesting there. Only a 7-year-old. So for me, actually, do you know what? I think right place, right time is a big chance, but I think Riggs off 127 has got a massive chance. I see your point about the Sandown race, but even the race at Kempton behind Monte Cristo, to me, he just looks like a horse I think is going to do really well this season over staying trips, and it looks like it's been a plot job by the Skelton. So I just slightly favour Riggs over right place, right time. 15 minutes later, 2:40 at Ascot. It's all coming thick and fast, the top class action. It is the Coral Hurdle, and Buzz, who I actually saw working alongside Epitant last week at Seven Barrows, is 11-10. Goshen, our old buddy, old pal, is 7-2. It is 6-1 Molly Ollie's Wishes, 13-2 Song for Someone, who has had a wind operation since we saw him last. And Guard Your Dreams is the outsider of the party at 8-1. Richard, Buzz, 11-10. A deserving favourite?
Yes, definitely a deserving favourite. Probably a bit short, but he's got the potentials there for him to get even better over hurdles, isn't it? I mean, he won the, you know, he landed a plot in the Cesarewitch. He was second in a grade one at Aintree. That's very strong form. You know, he's getting £6 here off Goshen. And you really don't know which Goshen is going to turn up. So he's not a horse who I'd go smashing into at 5-4, 11-10, but I definitely think he'll win.
Tom Collins, the Coral Hurdle at 2:40. Are you a Buzz fan?
Yeah, I am indeed. I think he's a good price, CJ. I say good price. I mean, he's a reasonable price. I think he should be shorter. Saying that, I think there are two horses at bigger odds that are interesting, Guard Your Dreams and Molly Ollie's Wishes. They were the two outsiders at the start of the week in the Antipost betting. I think they're worthy of a second look. Now, they probably don't have the same level of class as Buzz. He obviously had a brilliant season over hurdles last year, career best second in the entry hurdle behind Abacadabra, despite being hampered at a crucial stage. And obviously that Cesarewicz victory at Newmarket was phenomenal. I still haven't forgiven him because I was on Burning Victory from a long way out in that race. But if you can't beat them, join them, and I'll be back in Buzz to return to hurdling with success.
And Tom, where are we with Goshen? Where are we? What are you expecting from Goshen this season? Do you think he still is top class? He still could be a champion hurdle contender? Or are you just willing to kind of let him run? And if he comes good every so often, so be it.
I don't know how anyone can trust Goshen. Yes, he's shown brilliance on occasions, obviously in the Triumph, in the Kinwell hurdle as well. But he's just so unreliable at the moment. You don't really know what to expect. At 7-2, I mean, rather anyone else's money than my own on him. I think we'll probably see him in better light when he goes over fences. But I don't know how far away that is. Maybe later in this year. And if Gary Moore does send him over fences later this year, then I could give him a chance. But right now, he's just so inconsistent for my liking.
God, gosh, and over fences. Now, there's a scary thought. That'll keep me awake tonight. It'll be interesting to see anyway. That is Buzz. Two confident votes for Buzz from the boys. And I think you are probably right. I think that's three votes for Buzz. So there you go, folks. That's our views on the Betfair Exchange Stayers Handicap Hurdle. And join us after the break when we'll be getting stuck into the Carroll Hurdle at Ascot.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and three friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your five-star hotel and experience fine dining in the Chez Roux restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app on Friday, and on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
Moving on to the 3:15. It is the Gerard Bertrand Hurst Park Handicap Chase at Ascot. And Before Midnight, who's chasing a four-timer for Sam Thomas and Sam Twiston Davis, is 2-1. Sky Pirate is 7-2. Amula Gold is 6-1 for Bridget Andrews and Dan Skelton. 6-1 also Monsieur Lecoq. It is Diego de Charmill is 9-1. And it is 10-1 Bar. Before Midnight, Tom, he's obviously in cracking form at the minute. He's up to a mark of 144. Can he defy the handicapper once again?
Yeah, I think so, DJ. Again, it's a really boring selection, but I did say at the start, I think there are a few very solid market leaders at Ascot and at Haydock. There are four course winners in this race, all of whom just seem to run against each other all of the time. The likes of Amula Gold is in there, and he's probably the best of them. Maybe Monsieur Lecoq as well. He's not a course winner, but he ran behind Amula Gold last time. I just think Before Midnight and Sky Pirate are the two horses that are coming into the race with better and more attractive profiles. Before Midnight obviously beat Sky Pirate by 6 lengths at Cheltenham. And he just never really looked in danger throughout that race. He just breezed clear. Obviously the hill helps, and he looked a real strong stare at the trip as well. And his bold jumping nature just stands him in great stead. I think, if you're riding Before Midnight, you just send him along early and then hope that nothing else catches, because he's got such a high cruising speed. He doesn't miss a fence. That's probably commentator's curse, but doesn't miss a fence. And Sam Thomas, who's a burgeoning trainer, 26 winners last year from, I think it was 92 runners, a 28% strike rate. I think he's going to build on that this year. He's got a real good string of decent horses, probably headed by Al Dancer. But I think Before Midnight is right there with Al Dancer. I'd be surprised if he didn't record a fourth straight success.
Well, all I can say is I hope he runs a bit better than Al Dancer did in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. But that, Before Midnight, best price 2-1 favourite for Tom Collins. Richard, are you in the same camp with Before Midnight?
No, totally opposite. We're I make it bang two runners, the same two horses. But if you watch the video of that Cheltenham from the second last, if you watch the video of the Cheltenham run, Before Midnight pushed out vigorously from the last. I wouldn't say he was overly hard ridden, but he was pushed out very, very firmly towards the finish. And if you look back over your shoulder and you'll see Sky Pirate, he was very considerately handled by Nick Schofield to get second place. He was never going to lose second place, but he wasn't pushed out by any means firmly. And I think he probably needed that first run. He had a massive weight that day. I agree, he's still got a big weight again, but he's on £8 better terms. with better. He's on £8 better terms with Before Midnight, and I think if he can, he's got a very good cruising speed, just like Before Midnight. I think if he can stay with him to the straight, I think he could outspeed him. I think he's the better horse.
I'm trying to recall the race, but I thought Nick kind of gave him a few smacks halfway up the running to hold on for a second. No, maybe I'm seeing things. I thought he did give him a few smacks. No.
Well, no, I think it was all about giving him a nice first run of the season, and okay, when Before Midnight had gone beyond recall, you know, you're not going to knock one about unnecessarily, are you?
Okay.
And, I think he'll improve a good deal for that. I genuinely think he'll turn the tables.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, in my head, I don't know. In my head, I thought, at watching it at the time, it goes to show you what different people see. I thought he kind of did get stuck into him for a second, but you're a far shrewder judge and a better race watcher than I'll ever be. So that is Sky Pirate for Richard, and it is Before Midnight for Tom Collins. And the final race we're going to preview on Saturday, hopefully you've a few bob left in your account, it is the My Odds Boost on Betfair Handicap Chase, the 3:35 at Haydock. It is an energy-sapping 3 miles, 1 furlong and 125 yards. Been won by some very, very familiar faces over the years. And Strictly a Dancer, fresh from his Cheltenham win last Saturday, chasing a three-timer for Christian Williams and Jack Tudor's 13-8 favourite. Best price, 4-1 Ramses de Taye. It is 6-1 Empire Steel, 9-1 Fiddux. Mr. Muldoon is 9-1. So is Potter's Corner. And Joke Dancer is your outsider of the party at 12-1. Right, are you going to try and get out in this race, Richard, if you're having a struggling day, which I don't think you're going to. I think you're going to have a very good Saturday. But would this be a race you would try to obviously add to your winnings or maybe get back what you've lost?
Well, no, I think Strictly a Dancer will win. I think it's a, you know, I think it's a massive day for Christian Williams. Obviously, his first runner in a Grade One with Waiting Patiently. He's also got a good chance in the 12:40 with Strictly, and he's got an obvious chance here with Strictly a Dancer. Absolute revelation this season. You know, he's getting beat around the likes of Fakenham last season on quite a regular basis, but he looks totally different horse this year. He was impressive last time at Cheltenham. I think he's only gone up £7 for that. It's a better race, but there's no real depth to the race at all. And he's got 25 plus Jack Tudor, who is best three pound. Well, he's the best conditional I've seen for a very, very long time. And that £3 is just punting gold dust. So I know he's quite short, but I fully expect Strictly a Dancer to complete the hat trick.
Okay, excellent. So a very, very confident vote for Strictly a Dancer from Richard. Tom, are you in the same camp?
I'm not, but I wouldn't be opposing him willy-nilly. Obviously, he looks extremely solid as he's bidding for the hat trick.
That's a great word. Willy-nilly, what a willy-nilly word.
And I was at Cheltenham on Saturday when he won, and he was just really impressive. Never really in any danger, travelled like the best horse, and obviously won like the best horse. I think there are a couple of slight negatives against him. Obviously, he goes up £9, and I think his price is maybe a bit on the short side. So I just tried to look elsewhere. Now, this is not a vote of any confidence, but the horse at a bigger price that interests me was Empire Steel. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. He's only had 6 runs under rules. His 3 victories have all come first time up off a layoff, 210 days, 281 days and 81 days. So he clearly goes best when fresh. And he recorded an RPR of 152 when he smashed Protectorat. Obviously, it wasn't a real Protectorat at Kelso. He jumped badly that day. But that RPR of 152 makes his mark of 140 look pretty workable. He could be the one that upsets Strictly a Dancer, if there is one to upset the favourite.
Okay, interesting. An interesting finale at Haydock. Lads, we've got like cracking racing everywhere, it seems. Like Bob Olinger makes his debut over fences in 12 o'clock at Punchestown, and or at Goran Park, should I say. And there is some really good quality action at Goran Park as well. Anything else on Saturday, anywhere that is not your nap that you're going to share with listeners? Tom Collins, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Bob Olinger. Obviously not a selection, but I'd love to see him absolutely bolt up. He was a brilliant horse last year, and hopefully he progresses this term. The one selection elsewhere at this stage, haven't quite come down on my US picks yet, so if there are people listening that like those, I don't know if there are, then make sure to check out the Racing Post app and website. But the one horse that I do like in Britain is in the 12:35 at Lingfield, a filly called Under the Boardwalk. I think she's around 8-1 currently for trainer Brian Meehan. The withdrawal of likely favourite Lady Rockstar in this race is a huge positive. Under the Boardwalk won really impressively on debut at Salisbury. She made it all that day. Brian Meehan's horses don't tend to win first time up, and I think that's a big sign. Ashin Murphy spoke very favourably about her afterwards as well. And then Connections decided to go down a route, the route of running her in competitive black type races on the turf. She ran a listed race and a Group 3, which they both didn't work out. She finished down the field. And that's probably why you're getting a decent price on her now. But she got an opening handicap mark of 80, which I think is very fair. She's drawn well in stall 4. I expect her to bounce back. And if she is as good as Connections and Ashin Murphy think, then 8-1 is an extremely healthy price for Under the Boardwalk in the 12:35 at Lingfield.
Excellent. I'll be keeping an eye out for that. Richard, anything else you like on Saturday?
Yeah, one bet tomorrow for me. It's in the 1:30 at Ascot. Number 6, Martha Bray. Very impressive on her first run for Dan Skelton at Exeter a few weeks ago. Not gone up very much. I think £8 she's gone up for that. As soon as I finish recording this, I'm going to be looking for some 3-1 with someone. Anyone out there wants to give me some 3-1, I'm here.
Well, hopefully they're listening anyway, and you'll get some 3-1 Martha Bray. That's in the 1:30 at Ascot, yeah?
That's it. Beautiful sight, yeah.
Excellent stuff. A quick shout out for the Sunday action, boys. My local track, it's their big day. Navin is on Sunday, and the Ladbrokes Tri-Town Chase is the feature race. Always one of the big handicap chases in Ireland. There's a big field of 17 in it, and just the one that I think I'm going to side with. I'm a big fan of Lord Royal for my sins, who has yet to win over fences, but I do think he's well handicapped off mark of 144. But I don't think the ground is soft enough, so I'm going to go for Top Moon for Joseph O'Brien and JP McManus. Has taken a while to get the hang of things over fences. Was a decent hurdler rate 142. Was very consistent over hurdles, but it's been the complete opposite over fences. I thought he ran really well in the Kerry National behind two potentially well handicapped horses and on the ropes, who goes for the Ladbrokes Trophy and a Wave of the Sea. Thought that was a real good run off mark of 142. He's only gone up £2 for that. Mark Walsh takes the ride, and interestingly enough, there's only two horses in this race for JP McManus, who usually has a lot more. So I think Top Moon can win the Tri-Town Chase. That's about a 10-1 shot, best price. So all that's left to do now is find out the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And Richard, we're going to come to you first. Your best bet anywhere on Saturday.
Martha Bray, 1:30 Ascot.
Excellent. And you've made a brilliant case for Martha Bray already. So Martha Bray, 1:30 Ascot, is the first leg of our Trixie. Tom Collins, your Saturday banker.
Right, I'm absolutely praying that this is the day Defi DeSoy bounces back. Defi DeSoy, 2:05 Ascot.
Oh, I'd love it, Tom. I'd absolutely love it. And I'm actually on a bit of a roll. I'm going to put the markers on myself. I'm on a bit of a roll with my weekend naps after Night Salute last week. So I'm actually going to play it reasonably safe. But might I, in the 12:10 at Haydock, this might I think could turn out to be potentially a Ballymore horse, because I think when he steps up and trip, he could be really interesting. But I think come March, I think we'll be talking about Might I as either a Supreme Novice Hurdle contender or a Ballymore contender. First shows, odds against, around about 6-5, 5-4 Might I. But I have to say, I was blown away by his hurdling debut at Warwick. I think this is a really, really good horse for Harry Fry and Lorcan Murta. So Might I in the 12:10 at Haydock. Add that to Defi DeSoy and Martha Bray for Richard Birch, and you've got your 3 Saturday naps. So that's it, folks. That was this weekend's tipping podcast here on the Racing Post. We're here every Friday, usually with Bruce Millington, but I'm stepping in for him this week. So we hope you've enjoyed it. My thanks to Richard and to Tom. I've been David Jennings, and listen, have a great weekend punting, and don't forget to gamble responsibly. Only bet what you can afford to lose. Thanks for listening, thanks for watching, and see you next week.